morning. If you have your Bibles, turn again to the book of Proverbs. And before we begin, I'm a pray and ask God to bless His Word. Father, we love You. We ask You to help us today. We beg You for grace and mercy in Christ's name. Amen. As we continue our verse-by-verse study of the book of Proverbs, we will find that King Solomon here, as he writes this book, is purposeful in trying to provide insight and instruction to those who read. And I think it would do us good, and I'm thankful. I was thinking about reflecting over the things that we've already learned as we've been going through this book. It would do us some good to read the book of Proverbs on a day-by-day basis. Why? Because this book is full of wisdom, full of insight, full of instruction. It is full of instruction to protect or help those who are vulnerable. And we would all have to agree, and we see here in the beginning that that's who he's dealing with. We would all have to agree from time to time that we're all vulnerable, right? We have, I guess, in our fallen nature, the, I don't know if you would call it a desire or the pitfall of believing a lie. But most of us do. I mean, we just fall into that category to where that's why it's so easily to be sold a bill of goods is because, or told a story and buy into it is because we just have a natural tendency to go that direction. We have a tendency to believe a lie. And we see here that what Solomon is doing is he's trying to instruct his readers to guard them and protect them and to lead them out of that by giving them what? Illustrations, proverbs that they can look at, real life events that you can see truth in, that you can gain wisdom from, that you can take these things and you can remember them and understand them as you see them. Proverbs 1:4 is where we left off. And I know we've been on this for a while. We went through this with the teenagers. Brother Jimmy had asked me to do it with them in Bible school. So it seems like it's been redundant. But I think sometimes we need to hone in on some of these things to understand them and rehearse them, remind ourselves of these things because we have a tendency to forget. He says here, Proverbs 1:4, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. As we've already stated in our study, those who are naive need to be subtle. They need to have that ability to escape. Man, I get to thinking about our teenagers this day. I was talking to a guy yesterday and we were discussing some things and I was sharing with him and we were talking about social media and he told me he was 25 years old. We were talking about how that this generation coming up, that's all they know. And it's dangerous, extremely dangerous. And the thing is I can reflect back when we didn't have all these things and life was so much easier for us to navigate. Now, don't get me wrong, they were still temptations. They were still things, but you kind of had to go a little bit more out of your way to find those things back then than they do now when it's sitting in there in the palm of their hand 24/7. And we got to be careful. And that's what we see here, that he writes this to give those who are young, those who are naive, those who are simple, the ability to be able, those who don't have experience, he gives them the ability to obtain knowledge and to obtain discretion to protect them. The word knowledge, we said, was experimental knowledge, or what we would say, knowledge that comes by experience. We may also define this word as insight, which would pertain to the knowledge of being able to discern, being able to understand. And where does that knowledge come from? We understand it's a gift of God, right? But it comes, you know, there are some things when I got saved that God immediately took from me. I could testify of this and that God just supernaturally gave me the ability to be able. That veil was removed, but then there's some things that he didn't do for me. And what I have to do as I go through my process of growing in God is I have to study the Word of God. And as I do my part, God reveals truth to me. God grants me to understand. God grows me through that sanctification process. And it is a walk that has to be done on a daily basis. So I have to stay in God's Word. Because the minute that I think I'm all right, you know what? I find myself falling back to being without knowledge, without discretion. I find myself going back to those old things that I used to do. You know, we must realize that we're completely dependent upon God to give us proper understanding. Like I said earlier, I think it's in our fallen state. Apart from God granting us grace to understand, we're prone to miss it. Especially spiritual things. The natural man. I'm thankful for a natural man. But I have to realize I'm still robed in natural flesh. And my brain is still flesh. Right? So what I have to do, the scripture says that we're to gird up the loins of our mind. What does that mean? What do you do with a girdle? Ladies, what do you do with a belt, men? You cinch things up, right? You tie up all the loose ends, right? So if we were to gird up, some of them over there laughing, if we were to gird up the loins of our mind, what are we to do? We're to gird up our thought process. We're to tie it up to what? Do what? Refine it to where we think like we ought to think. We think according to the Scriptures. When we start having those thoughts that bring us back here or over here and drift off here and there, and we do, our brain's still flesh. Our brain has not been redeemed. That's why it's so important for us to take our mind, our intellect, our thought process, and what we have to do is we have to bring it into subjection to the Word of God. And by doing so, what we do is we trim off all those unwanted things that are constantly in our mind. And as we begin to go through this process, we begin to grow more and we begin to think more and more and more like Christ. And we start realizing that the things of this world are not good for us. But if we just give way to all the things that we think, we'll find in a bind. And we got to realize that we're dependent upon God to have proper understanding. Especially proper understanding of His Word. You know, it's only by God's grace that we have the ability to apply this understanding to our everyday life. As we said in our last lesson, and I'm kind of doing a little recap because it's been a while since we've been here. I'm thank God that we're back on our normal schedule, but we must be careful to seek wisdom with knowledge. And the reason being is because knowledge is just simply knowing, right? We get in God's Word, we study God's Word, we learn God's Word. How many people were able to do that? There's multitudes of people able to do that. But to take what we learn and apply it, you know what we need? We need grace. And that grace gives us the wisdom to be able to apply that Word to our life every day. And we need God to help us do that. Because it's not going to do us much good to learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and never apply. We have to be able to apply these things. And what we need to do as we're seeking understanding and knowledge, we have to be begging God. As we come here today to listen to preaching, you know what we need to be begging God? God, help me. Not only the here, but also to be able to do that which I know I'm supposed to do. Because we need grace to do that. It's easier to sit here and listen than it is to take these things and put them into action. That's the hard part. That's where we need grace. And if we do it in our own power, in the power of the flesh, you know what's going to happen? We might do it for 30 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour, and then we'll go right back. That's why we need God's deliverance every single day. Y'all realize how many people claim to have knowledge? But because their knowledge is not coupled with wisdom, they are actually fools. I mean, multitudes. Think about how many educated. I got to thinking about this as I was studying this in our nation. I got to thinking about our nation. Because you know our nation pumps knowledge. We're in the instant age of knowledge. In other words, you want to know something, you look it up. Think about how many highly educated people there are in America today. Think about it. All these universities. Most people that graduate, most, not all, but most people that graduate high school, I didn't look up the statistics, I'm not really worried about them, but most of them go off to college, right? Some go to have fun, some go to actually learn. Think about how many highly educated people there are in America today, and think about how ignorant we have become as a nation. Honestly. I mean, look, if we had time to get political, we could just stop and look at the folks that are running this country. Okay? That are supposed to be the elite. And we can look at the decisions that they have made in the last year. We don't have to go back any further than that. And we can realize that they are ignorant. Why? Because they're making decisions, whether it be deliberate or undeliberate, I don't know, and don't really care, but they're making decisions that are detrimental to our country. But they claim to be full of knowledge and wisdom. As a nation, you know, we're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? No grace. I said in our last lesson that the greatest need of this needs of our young people today is the say today that this need not only for our young folks, but it's for me. It's for, we desperately need knowledge here in our country. Without knowledge, understanding, you know what's going to happen to this place? We will quickly self-destruct. Turn to Hosea chapter 4. We're going to look at a little passage. Maybe kind of back this up a little bit. Chapter 4. And sometimes, you know, it's easy to look at others and say, man, they are ignorant. Overlook the ignorance. I need instruction. I need the book of Proverbs. I need the Bible in order to instruct me. Listen to what it says here in Hosea 4. Hear the word, verse 1, the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. That's not good, is it? In the land. We could probably just stop right here and say, I think he's talking about us. Understand he's not, right? We don't want to twist the scriptures. He says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for they are, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Listen to verse 9. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, increase, so they sinned against me, therefore will I change their glory into shame. Now where can we can tie that into Romans chapter 1, and we will if we have enough time today. He says, they eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they, you know, God, before I go on right here, you know, God's not a respecter of persons. Right. He's not. I'm thankful for his covenants. And I'm thankful that he's truthful and that he's faithful to his covenants. But he's not a respecter of persons. He said, I'm not going to separate and distinguish between this one or this one because of the office that they hold. What I'm going to do is I'm going to punish them for their ways and reward them. God's going to reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Now, as we look at this, and as we look at this passage here, I taught Sunday morning on the protection and the provision and the providence that we have in God. And we look here, and as we my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, stood those who are the Lord by special grace. Now you say, hold on, wait up. You know, we cannot be destroyed. I'm thankful for that. Now I understand that we can suffer. Y'all realize we can suffer chastisement here? But we cannot be destroyed. At least not with an lasting destruction. Now, does that give us life to go out and live like hell? No, it doesn't. Let me check the time. This time will get away from me up here. You know, God loves us. I'm talking about his chosen people. He has chosen. He has. See, that's what makes that so, I think, important for us to understand, is that he has done all this. It's not like we've done it, but he's done it. He is chosen to make covenant with us. Christ has redeemed us, and by God's grace we are secure from the destruction that we see that is going to happen to those of this world. We must also realize that neither can we perish. By nature, as ignorant as those of this world. How many of y'all would testify of yourself and say that you're pretty ignorant? I am. I get around some people every once in a while and I realize, man, I'm stupid. I'm just being point blank. I don't see how these guys, they're on the money, on everything, in certain areas. But we got to understand that even though we may be by nature as ignorant as others, it is God's predetermined will to bring us to the knowledge of the truth. Think about that. How did we get to the truth? Did all of a sudden one day we wake up and say, I figured it out. Dang, that was the missing link I've been looking for. I finally broke the code. No. What did God do? He removed that veil. It was his will to bring us to this knowledge. It was his will to bring us to the knowledge of truth. Why did he have to bring us to the knowledge of truth? In order to save us. He did all of it. We must also know that the same grace which provides for us salvation secures the belief of truth in us. How long is our salvation going to be? Forever. For by grace are we saved how? Through faith. And this same covenant of grace also provides us knowledge of spiritual things as well as spiritual blessings. Y'all realize God is the one that's done what he's done. And when we study and we see these truths, you know, we who have been saved have been translated from darkness, right, into light. And the spirit of wisdom and understanding has enlightened what? Our minds. It has. It's what the scriptures say. And by God's grace, we who now have the knowledge of God and Christ given to us, we have this knowledge, and this knowledge is eternal. In other words, God's given us this knowledge, and it's not going to be one day we're going to wake up and say, you know what? I don't feel like doing this anymore. If you are truly saved. How do you know that? The Bible says He will finish the work that He began in us. He will. Not me. I'm not going to hold out to the end. He's going to hold me to the end. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't act out of character from time to time. It doesn't mean we can't do foolish things from time to time. We all have to admit that we can, and we sometimes do. And when we do, we must understand that we end up being corrected for it. How many of y'all can testify of that? So when we see that this destruction mentioned here in Hosea, we got to understand that these are the people of the 10 tribes of Israel who were nationally and supposedly the people of God. At least they were by profession. How many people in America today profess? They call themselves the people of God. You know, there's multitudes meeting today. You know, there's multitudes that will proclaim or claim that they're praying to God today. How many people today that they belong to God, but their works stand as a testimony against them? That's what was going on in the Old Testament if we had time to look at it and study it. I mean, these people were full of idolatry, and they claimed they knew God. How many people today have no true knowledge of God or His Word, yet they profess to know Him? And they profess that they belong to Him. We got to understand that many of the Israelites, like I said just a while ago, they had a problem with idolatry. But at the same time, you know what they did? They worshiped God. And even though God's knowledge had not taken place upon them, let's look at what, well, we're not really going to waste a whole lot of time on this passage, but notice He still sent His prophets among them. To do what? To reprove them. I mean, we studied the book of Malachi. People that, if it would have been up to me, you know what I'd have done? I'd have cut them off. But we see that God still sends His prophets among them to reprove them and to reform them. And here we see in this passage that they weren't completely cut off or rejected by Him as of yet. And these were said to be destroyed because they were threatened with destruction. They were upon the brink of destruction. You know what we have to do? We have to realize that the people that we are dealing with on a regular basis, they may think that they have the knowledge of God. But we have to be able to discern and understand that according to the way that they're living, even though they profess to know God, more than likely if their lifestyle is not living up to it. Now, I understand we can see fault in people, but we got to understand that we have to have the discernment to understand that some of these people are lost. And we have to present to them the grace and mercy that God has presented to us. Why? Because it may be that God wants to save them. In a sense, not that He can't and He's waiting on them, but it just their time has not come yet. And that God may be using us. These people we see here in Hosea, even though they claim to be the children of God, they were totally ignorant of Him. Did not properly worship Him. Neither did they fear and reverence Him because of all the abominations that they ran into. And because of this, we see here that they were threatened with ruin. And you know what? I don't understand the long-suffering of God. I really don't. God's too high for my mind to totally grasp. How that someone, I mean, think about ourselves. Think about it for a minute. Think about the the mercy of God, and we understand that His mercy endures forever, right? Think about those of us who have been given knowledge and given understanding and given wisdom, and have been, this grace has been poured out on us, and yet we still go back and do the things that we do, and God's still long-suffering with us. You know who He ought to be harder on, and He is harder on than anybody else? Y'all help me out. Us. Why? We know. Right. To know to do good and to do it not. It is. But there's multitudes that believe that they know and they don't know. And one day, if God does not pluck them from their ignorance, you know what's going to happen to them? That overwhelming flood of the wrath of God is gonna be on them. How long is it gonna? It's gonna abide on them for all eternity. For all eternity. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. We'll just read it because it goes in line with our day. And like I said, it's easy for us sometimes to try and take some of these passages and manipulate them and try and make them fit for our country. We can see the illustrations. We can see the comparisons. But when he was writing then, you know what? He wasn't talking about America. But we can see that there's a tendency. You know, history has a tendency to repeat itself. There's nothing new under the sun. The same things they were dealing with back then. These young, when Solomon's writing, when King Solomon's writing the book of Proverbs, and he's writing about a young man giving way to the seduction of this world or women. You know what? That was happening back then just like it's happening now. There was ways. You know, if you want to sin, you'll find a way to do it. You know, if you want to do good, you'll find a way to do it. But the difference is that without grace and mercy, even when we find a way to do good, evil is credited to us if we hadn't done it in the Spirit and in the power of God. Right. Romans 1, starting in verse 18, says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." That's not good, is it? What do they have to look forward to? The ungodly? Look up one. I just thought about this. Look up one verse. Verse 17. We're going to look at the contrast here. We just said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." Look at verse 7. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." How? From faith to faith. Now, what would you rather have? The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith? Or the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, ungodliness, and unrighteousness of men? Who do what? Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of them from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." What is this? Y'all tell me what this is. This is what? Help me out, preacher.
Verse 20.
Yeah, what's he speaking of here when he says all these things are shown? How are these things shown? By what? What they call that? By a general what?
General revelation.
We see that God reveals Himself, and there's a purpose for this, right? We'll understand that there's a purpose for this. What is the purpose for this? I'm going to ask you before we go, because we're running out of time. We don't really have time to go through this. We got 1 minute left. What is the purpose for all this? That they will be what?
Without
it. I don't understand that. I really don't. But you know who's going to stand justified in all that He's done? God is.
Right.
And the thing is this. God has revealed some things to people that they didn't want to have anything to do with. And one day, because of that, you know what? They're going to stand in judgment for all eternity. I've got to quit, and that's a horrible place to quit. We're out of time. Thanks be unto God that we have books written that can teach us and that can bring us. I was once in this place. I did things that wasn't convenient for me. I didn't go as far as some other folks did, thanks be unto God. But nonetheless, I was still just as bad as they were. And I'm thankful that one day, by the grace of God, He opened my eyes and revealed to me truth and gave me the grace to believe Him for who He is. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. In Christ's name, amen.